this season, either the first or the second. I haven't seen the whole series. So, yes, that'll be great.
Well, there's been three. They played two the first night, and I watched those. Because I don't have HBO right now, so I go to my dad's, and we smoke cigars and watch HBO. So I'm doing that tonight, so I'll be caught up tonight.
I can't remember. That's the guy who was in the Green Book. I can't remember if I've watched one or two, but we watched the previous True Detectives, and what I kind of like is they completely change characters and scenarios. Every time they change, but still called True Detective.
Yeah. Well, and what's fascinating about this year is that they're playing, each character is playing themselves in like 15-year increments. Yeah. There's like a 30-year-old, a 45-year-old, and a 60-year-old version of the top three characters in the show, and it's remarkable how well they make it work.
It takes place, I think, in 80 and 90 and 2015. So you have a Mahershala looking kind of like he's got a fro in one time period, and then the 90 he's got the trim down, but in 15 he is just old. And he's, I'll tell you what, I told Tim this off the air, but I think it was a great casting for him because back in the first season, they got McConaughey when he had just won an Oscar. He was on a roll, and I think they got Mahershala Ali right when he's having, as they say, a moment. I mean, he just got nominated today for Green Book for Best Supporting Oscar, which is great because he's a big part of that movie, but he's really having a great little run here.
But what's amazing, here's what hooked people. And I was talking with a friend of mine about this, and now
tell him what True Detective is. Tell him what it's about.
Sure. I can do it in 30 seconds. It's about two detectives working on a case, but in each season, it's two complete different detectives. The first year was Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. Then the next year, it was two other. Now this year, it's two other detectives working on a case that has stymied people. And what's fascinating about this one is that it's about two kids that vanish. A boy and a girl riding a bike, and they vanish, and their parents are drunks, and they're not getting along, and the parents don't know what happened to them. And they find the boy's body. I don't want to give it away, because it happened in the second episode of the season. They find the boy's body, but they don't find the little girl's body. And then 20 years later, there's a robbery of a Walgreens, and they find her fingerprint.
Yeah, it's
as really, part of the robbery, and that's what creeps you out right there.
It is, and the way they do it is they reveal a little bit of information every week. They don't give you the whole thing. And again, you're right. They have two different detectives. You know, they're different personalities. Like Mahershala Ali's character is kind of he's kind of an outsider. He's a guy that doesn't really have a big social life, but he's. He's kind of a tracker, doesn't he? He has a tracking history, being able to track things in the woods, and he's very good at that, but he kind of doesn't really mix well with people. But, you know, every episode you seem to find out something different. It makes you kind of step back and go, oh, okay, that's a whole nother twist. But it's really well done. The second season just didn't have great writing, didn't have interesting characters. They added more detectives to the pool. I think it was three working on the case, and I don't know, it was a bad sophomore effort, but I think the creator just kind of went too big. But this one, it's more back to the first season.
I got a TV show that's on Netflix now that I'm sure Frank will like. It is in the Marvel superhero world.
The Punisher!
World. Yes, but there is no superpowers, no nothing like that. It starts off from the beginning.
Glad you brought that up.
And trust me, Frank, I know you like action and like a thrilling storyline. You want to watch The Punisher.
It's great.
This is one of the problems I have with True Detective is too slow.
Oh, trust me. The Punisher is not. The Punisher is not slow in any way, shape, or form. Basically, he shows up, he kills everybody, and it's on to the next episode.
The best way to describe Frank Castle, who the show is about, The Punisher,
is... there you go. See, Frank and Frank. Connection.
As he told Daredevil in another show, he said, you know, you hit him and they go down. I hit him and they stay down. Mm-hmm. He is a judge, jury, and executioner. He's a former Special Forces guy who has basically lost some family, and he doesn't want to mess around. He's kind of addicted to violence, and that's what happens.
Who does he go after?
Does
he go after people?
Bad guys.
But have they done something to him?
All right. In the first season, he goes after the people that basically took out his family. So he goes after pretty much, there's like five or six gangs, and he just decimates
them. I'll tell you what, John,
you know, when you see John Bernthal, you'll go, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. He plays Frank Castle. He's so good because you know why? This is the fourth guy to play Frank Castle, but he dips in.
You have to get
in.
Closer to your microphone because you do this all the time.
I'm right on top of it. I can kiss him.
That's what he told Igor in the green room.
Now you are.
Well, that's because he adjusted it. Limey adjusted the volume. I'm right in front of it. No. Man, always a snake, I tell you.
You know what,
always some kind of correction.
You're a writer.
There's a show I've been binge watching the past probably month.
Tom and Jerry?
Every morning. No, Andy Griffith. The Andy Griffith
show. I watched
show.
Andy Griffith 3 days ago. I watched two episodes 3 days ago. I love it.
I know.
Still great.
You can binge watch that. I love it.
I love that show.
All right, okay, so, go ahead. Any more on True Detective before I jump in to tell you a movie I just saw at the movie theater?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we pretty much wrapped up the TV portion. Well, I got a couple movies to share, but what do you got, Miami?
There is also another TV show that it kind of looks like a kid's TV show on Netflix. You want to stay away from it. It's called Watership Down, I think it's a redo of the one that came out in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, and it's about these rabbits that, like, you know, happy little group of rabbits. They get kicked out of the little woods they're living in because of construction, and it's a terrible, terrible, terrible storyline. It's not meant for
kids. It's a Netflix original?
This is a Netflix original.
Oh, they're gonna miss some.
It's kind of like, you know, that really trippy scene in the Dumbo movie, you know, when he's drunk and it's just not really appropriate for kids anymore. The entire story is like that. It's don't let your kids watch it.
Okay, don't. Take kids out of it. Is it any good?
I would say.
It's pretty good. Not for kids.
No, it's meant to be a kid's story, but I think, like, you know, one rabbit gets like rabies, another one gets killed, and it's gruesome.
Yeah, but Frank, I do want to tell you that on Punisher, there's one season right now. There's two seasons total, and I think you'll like it. It's action packed. I mean, this is like fight scenes too. I mean, this brutal combat and a lot of gun action and not much. I want to say not much messing around. There aren't a lot of romantic subplots. There's no, okay, let's just waste an hour here. It is pretty much a guy who is full of vengeance and wants to kill the bad guys. And he is the...
It's like Death Wish time.
Death Wish. Basically, exactly. a young, yes. If Charles Bronson was more built and looked like an Italian guy, it'd be basically Death Wish. Mm-hmm. So that's what John Bernthal is. But yeah, give it a watch. It's on Netflix. 26 episodes. On Netflix. So yeah, that and True Detective are great options right now. I would probably say Punisher is a little bit better, but it just depends on what you want.
All right, I saw my wife and I went to see The Upside with.
And
Kevin Hart. Now you've seen it, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I was surprisingly impressed by it.
I enjoyed it. Nicole Kidman is in it, and not a big role, but she's in it. And Bryan Cranston is a tremendous actor.
Yes.
I don't care for his politics, but he's a great actor. And I really enjoy this movie. And I'm not going to give a lot away. He's a quadriplegic. He's in a wheelchair. All he can do is control his wheelchair with his mouth. He can move his head. And his caregiver is Kevin Hart. And it's an unlikely pairing, and that's all mm-hmm. I'll say. I enjoyed it. I really did.
I will tell you, if you have time, watch the original, though. The French original is really good, too, and it's very well acted. But the remake was good. I was very surprised.
Is the French original in subtitles?
Yes.
Subtitle? I'm not watching.
It is. All right. Well, you're missing out.
But subtitle.
There's another... Well, I want to say, piggybacking off the Nicole Kidman thing, she's in a new film that came out on Friday that I really, really liked. And it's a crime thriller... And it's kind of in the vein. If I had to say it, it's two movies that reminded me of. It's like Training Day meets Collateral in a way. I'm thinking another movie, but it's like Training Day. It's a crime thriller. Nicole Kidman plays a detective who is revisiting her past. She was undercover in a bank robbing gang, and something bad happened.
What's the name? You didn't give the name of it.
The movie is called Destroyer. It is directed by Karin Kusama, who is a local St. Louis native. And she directed it. She's great. It is Nicole Kidman plays Erin Bell, who is kind of a burnt out detective. You know, her colleagues think she's just over the hill. She drinks too much. She doesn't, you know, connect.
Okay, can I stop for a second?
Yeah.
Why is it that 90% of these movies where they have the Bruce Willis or whoever it is, burnt out detective, lives in a little apartment, booze bottles all over the place, didn't shave for 5 days, watching TV, but gets called back for a job because he's the only guy, or in this case, she's the only guy. You got to come back and help us with this case. So they try to clean up and try not to have a drink.
Yeah, there's
that
more
day.
To
and
it.
How many times have we seen that?
You have not seen it with a female. And the director did say that. She said, we've seen this so many times with a male actor, but You've never seen it with a lead female in the role, and she's very good. I mean, if you think she was one way in the upside, this is a completely different role. She plays kind of somebody you don't really care for. She's made a lot of mistakes in her life, but she was part of this operation. She was an undercover detective in this gang, and something bad happened, and years later she wants to revisit that case, and it's got some great action. It's got a lot of good drama. It's shot very well. It's made in L.A., and the director really uses L.A. If you like Michael Mann, Heat, and Miami Vice, the way he shot that movie in The Collateral, the same kind of work here is done by Karin Kusama, who's just a great director. She hasn't worked in like 10 years, but this movie, it's dark, it's brutal, but it's got just enough action to really keep you enthused about the plot, which is very well done. And it's a similar setup, but again, the female lead, and also the second half of the movie, there's a couple good twists in there that kind of throw the genre on its head a little bit.
It's called The Destroyer.
It's called just Destroyer.
Destroyer, huh?
Because in the character in the movie, she's kind of a person that's destroyed her life, and she's trying to repair it by fixing this one last thing from her past.
But right, ARD.
I would say 3.5 easily, leaning towards 4, but let's go with 3.5.
All right, here they come.
All right, Dean. All right.
You want to take a phone call?
Let's take a phone call. I got one more review, but let's go. Yeah, we'll take a phone call and take a break.
No, we'll jump in and out here. Tim has been holding for a little bit. Tim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Dan Buffa.
Hey, Dan Buffa.
No, how you doing, Mr. Woodburn?
Tim on the phone.
Tim on the phone, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Where you talk. This is where you speak.
Action!
Oh, I was calling to see if you've ever seen Letterkenny.
Oh, yeah. That's a great show.
What is it?
It's a show. It's called Letterkenny, and it's about this small town up in Canada.
Hold on. What? Letterkenny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kenny.
Spell it. Two words, one word?
Yeah, one word, Letterkenny. Letterkenny.
What a stupid title, Letterkenny.
It's not really, kind of a mixture of Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. It's a lot of...
Yeah.
All right. Is it a cartoon?
No. It's a live-action TV show, but I think Tim is right. It's like a combination of Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, and a little bit of Family Guy.
It's a quick-witted, fast-paced, snappy comedy about hillbilly hicks getting by in a small town. Is the IMDb?
Where do you see this?
On Hulu, I believe.
Hulu, yeah. 39 episodes.
You'll have to rewind. You'll probably end up rewinding it back a little bit just so you catch what they're saying, because it's... Their accents sometimes are a little hard to follow.
It's a no-name cast. There's really no names I recognize here, so it must be pretty good. They're using nobody that's really known.
What does the name mean, Letterkenny?
I have no idea. Is that like a phrase in the South or something?
It's the name of the town they live in.
Okay. Letterkenny.
All right, Jim. Right. We'll check it out.
Frank, catch it. Yeah, I think you'll like it.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
No idea that existed.
But without Hulu, you're SOL. Nobody can watch it.
Yeah, true.
But, okay. All right, what else you got there, Dan?
All right, on Friday, along with Destroyer, we had the release of M. Night Shyamalan's finale, Glass. If you've seen the first two movies, Unbreakable and Split, this one is like the finale, the culmination of his trilogy. It's taken 19 years to produce. And... basically breaking it down, the first film, Unbreakable, Bruce Willis is an ordinary guy who discovers he has superpowers. He has super strength. He can't be hurt. He survives a train accident that kills 300 people, and then he eventually runs into Samuel L. Jackson's character, who is the opposite of him. He is extremely breakable. He has had 92 breaks in his life, but he's a very super smart guy. And that's that movie based on those two guys. And then in 2016, the second film, Split, it was with James McAvoy playing a guy who had 24 different personalities, including one of a 7-year-old boy and a 43-year-old British woman. He basically would slip between these personalities inside each scene, and he kidnapped girls. And he was basically, at the end of the movie, the girls escaped. But in the third film... a psychiatrist brings all these three characters together. And the whole idea of Glass, the new movie, is that she's trying to convince them that they are suffering from a delusion of reality, that they don't really have superpowers. And the whole movie is these three guys kind of looking back on themselves and wondering if they do have these powers or if it's really just a delusion. You know, back in 2000, M. Night, before Christopher Nolan made Batman, before Marvel came out, he was the first person to kind of go after the conflicted, reluctant superhero. And Unbreakable was a great film. Split was equally almost as good, but Glass for me was a big letdown, and here is why. If you bring back these characters for some big finale, you have to really hit it out of the park. And I think here, instead of just making kind of an enjoyable movie with some meaning to it, he tried to throw so much into it. It's too long. The finale is so drawn out. You're waiting for these guys to have a showdown, you know, between Bruce Willis and McAvoy's character. But he tries to, the ending is just, I think if he made this film back in 2005 or 6, it would have been great. But in 2019, it just came off as underwhelming and kind of lame. If there's really a one word to give this ending, it's kind of lame. And for a movie to really finish off a trilogy, it started with something really great and Unbreakable. I think he had to finish with something great, and the result was kind of underwhelming. I was very disappointed. I went into this film like the opposite of Upside, which I thought was going to be bad. I went into Glass thinking, man, this is going to be a tremendous. M. Night Shyamalan, he's a very inventive director, but sometimes he gets a little bit ahead of himself. And I think in this one, he bit off a little bit too much in the end, trying to spin this yarn about real-life superheroes living among us, and I think it was a swing and a miss. So
I didn't go see it only because I never read one good review about this thing.
Yeah, I mean, and the first one was kind of not received well back in 2000, but it's kind of become kind of a cult favorite. And Split back a couple, 2-3 years ago was really well done. And I think those films, you know, they had a purpose. In this film, you just go, okay, let's put them all together and see what happens. And then they try to convince them that they're not superheroes, which I think we all kind of believe is BS. But in the end, when you put these guys together, I just think you need to make something better. And it was kind of disappointing. When I left the movie, I was like, that is it? That's all he's got? 19 years later, he's going to finish off with this? So, you know, I respect the guy. I didn't totally hate the movie. I mean, he never takes a half measure when he makes a movie, M. Night Shyamalan. He's a very ambitious guy. He swings for the fences. I just think with this one, he just didn't get it over the fence. And because of that, it was kind of an underwhelming experience.
Okay, Glass, ARDs.
Glass, ARDs, I'll go with 2. It's not terrible, but it's not good either.
To make me go, I think I need to hear you have a 2.5. Anything less than that?
Yeah, if you said make it a 2.5, I think I would be trying. I'd be pressing my own opinion to basically, I'd be twisting it too much. I couldn't give it a 2.5.
Don't let him pressure you.
Two ARDs. No,
he's intimidating.
Yeah.
Here they come, right here.
All right, Dan.
All right, I'd like to address something here that drives me nuts. And they do it now on TV, and they do it in these movies, and it's like everybody does it. I'm tired of this flashing back to 20 years ago, because my mind is too simple for that. If I'm watching a movie, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, wait a minute, that happened. Oh, okay, they went back 4 years, especially if it's only 3 or 4 years, because the character kind of looks the same. Then I realize that I missed the point that this happened before he met her. I don't like that. I just don't like jumping all over the place, past, present. I don't like it. Just like I don't like, and I think it started with The Office, the whole handheld camera thing, where everything's kind of moving all the time.
Now,
and I don't like that.
The Office,
either.
The TV show, I don't mind that style of filming. It's okay. But those stupid movies like the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, those are bad.
On a handheld. I can't stand watching a movie
and
like
guess
that.
What? Because that was so popular, everybody wants to make a movie
because
like that.
Because of that, what was that other movie? Cloverfield.
Yeah, Cloverfield. I mean, I will say the one where she's in the house with John Goodman was pretty good.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, that was
10
different.
Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, that was kind of good. But other ones, they're trying. It's like you make a movie for cheap, and here, I'm gonna carry this camera and run with it.
Right.
And it's going to be very shaky.
I'm going to be all artistic and really put like the emotions in this
movie. I'm going to give you a migraine in 90 minutes or less. But, I mean, I think there's, like, Bourne Identity, those films, they kind of have the action scenes, the camera moves a little bit, but it's not so jaggedy And it's just not done that well. So, yeah, Blair Witch, they really changed things. Everybody wants to make a movie now like that.
I think I'll take a quick break here, just a quick one. And we come back, maybe give some thought to, is there anything really great that's coming out? Because right now, quite frankly, in the movie theater...
I have a great movie that's coming out in February that I think nobody knows about, but I'm going to tell people to see it. And it reminds me of Fight Club. That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right.
Hang on to that thought while I sell some windows. Let me read you this tremendous email that I got this morning, because I read emails in the morning. I've gotten to where now I'll check emails maybe once in the afternoon, but I'm a morning email reader. That's from a guy named Rich. He says, I'm having all the original windows in my house replaced by Window World. He said, I believe it was Dennis who came out and gave us the quote, we had another company come and take measurements, and we never heard from them again. Folks, let me stop here. I've actually had this happen. I had I needed a retaining wall replaced. It was railroad ties, and they were rotted. So I had two people give me a bid, except that one of them never gave me a bid. And this was the company that specializes in retaining walls. And they sent a guy out. He was the nicest guy in the world. And he measured. Well, he says, I'll tell you what. He was out, I think, on a Thursday. He said, I have a quote for you by Saturday. After 2 weeks went by, and I never heard a word from the guy, I called him. And I said, what happened? He goes, oh, man. He said, you know what? I forgot about you. And I said, well, okay, and that was it. And I went with the other guy. So here's a guy who says he had Window World come out, and he had another window company come out. And he said, we haven't heard a thing of them about a bid. We were supposed to hear something the first week of January. They must not need our business. And he says their verbal initial quote was considerably higher than Window World, but I don't think you could beat Window World's quality or the warranty they offer. He said a friend of mine in Maplewood had his windows replaced by Window World about 10 years ago. And then he just had a couple of minor issues. Window World came out. They took care of him quickly. He is well satisfied with the quality and the labor. I am looking forward to the Window World upgrade. Well, so are we, Rich. And after the job is done, would you please follow up and give me some feedback on how you feel about your finished product. And I think I know what that email is going to say. It's going to say, Window World was everything we thought they would be. We are thrilled with our windows. We're thrilled with the price. We're thrilled with the crew that was here, an actual Window World crew, not some subcontracted fly-by-night. Oh, yeah, we also do roofing and we'll cut your grass. No, Window World sends their own people out. This is all they do. They know how to take the old windows out properly, put in the new windows. Installation, by the way, very, very important in anything. The product could be great, but if it's installed wrong or improperly, you know, you get your money's worth. You will get every dollar's worth from Window World. That is why it is the number one selling replacement window in the United States. And they haven't been around that long, 16 years or so. If you want to know more about why this is such a great value. Oh, and always tell them your AM and the PM. If you want to know more, go to windowworldst.louis.com.
Let's get a check on traffic and see how things are moving with Tori Lyons.
Traffic is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. Westbound 44 stacks up approaching Hampton. Bumper-to-bumper delays on westbound 64 before Kings Highway, again between Winghaven and I-70. Southbound 170, look for brake lights as you head past Page. 170 through Air Flight, slow on westbound 70. Accident eastbound 30 at Summit. And in Illinois, eastbound 64 east at Tudor, abandoned vehicle from an earlier crash. Police are on the scene. Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance. Liberty Mutual customizes your coverage, so you only pay for what you need. Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote, and you could save. I'm Tori Lyons, reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
They've played for you. They've bled for you. They've shown loyalty. Now it's time to show yours. Create the home court advantage. Pack State Farm Center.
Frazier racing down court. Right wing Jordan for three more.
Yes, sir.
Get your tickets now for as low as $25 on FightingIllini.com or call 866-ILLINI1.
Score your own win with the Blues 10 Game Pack. Get the last 10 regular season home games, including three Saturday games, with prices starting at just $28 per seat per game. Plus, get all-star ticket strip purchase access when you buy a 10 Game Pack this season and place a deposit on 2019-2020 full season tickets. This is your first chance to ensure purchase access to the most anticipated event in St. Louis next year. For details, go to stlouisblues.com/10game.
The perfect time to lift local at Club Fitness is extended. Join by January 31st for just $10 a month with no enrollment and no contract.
With 23 locally owned locations, Club Fitness is lifting our whole town to healthier, happier lives. They really care about everybody in St. Louis.
So join the movement and lift local.
Because lifting local is the right fit for everybody.
Club Fitness. Join in January for just $10 a month with no enrollment and no contract. See Club for details.
Music makes the movie. This is Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins from Top Gun. There are certain movies where sometimes I think they pick the music. In other words, it's a song that was already sitting out there. They go, let's pluck that song and put it in the movie. And it's perfect for the movie or for a scene. And other times they create the music just for the movie. Dan, do you know, was Danger Zone written and recorded for the movie or was it already recorded?
I think it was already recorded, but I don't know if it
Dan
was
Buffa.
If I had to guess, I would have said that was recorded for the movie.
Danger Zone has the song Danger Zone actually has its own Wikipedia page, if you can believe that.
Oh, really? My God.
Wow. You know you have arrived when you have your own Wikipedia page. I don't have my own Wikipedia page.
Tim, can I ask you a question? Does Eye of the Tiger have its own Wikipedia page? Because that should have it, too.
I'll look that up next year.
That's
but,
a good song.
But when Frank gets on a roll, I have to like research like 15 and 20 things in like a five-minute span. So
That's why you're great.
And you can do it, and that's why you're the head of research.
It was released and written in 1986 in conjunction with the release of the movie Top Gun. Good. So it was written for the movie.
Mm. Now, I'm going to give you a movie, and then we'll move on to whatever Mr. Buffa wanted to talk about. But I'll give you an example.
We have a guy on the phone, too, John.
Johnny boy.
As I was saying, I'll give you an example. It ruined it. It ruined my train. Now I'm going to talk to John, and then I'll recover.
And I got a great tidbit about this song as well for you. This song was actually written by the producers, Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson. They actually asked, Kenny Loggins was their fourth choice to record that song. They actually asked Corey Hart. He said no. REO Speedwagon said no. And, Kenny Loggins was third. Wow. After Corey Hart and REO Speedwagon said no.
Well, those two were idiots. They should have said yeah on that one.
Sometimes things happen for the best. It was good that they turned
and back
down,
in that
I don't
day,
know how it could have been any better.
Yeah, Tom Cruise didn't really have any clout back then. But nowadays, if Tom Cruise says you to write a song, you write a song, okay? It's Tom Cruise.
Well, Dan Strauss says we need to go to the phone, so we're going to the phones. John is holding. You're holding no more, John. Good afternoon. Welcome to 590 The Fan. What do you got?
Good afternoon, guys. I am AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Thank you. I heard you talking about Window World a minute ago, and wanted to let you know that I haven't needed windows in a very long time, but I do now. So I am in the process of getting some business, and I want to let you know real quick that I went on their website last night, and I signed up to get a quote, and within 10 minutes, I got a phone call from Missy. Saying she wanted to get something set up. I'm coming out tomorrow night to to look at my place and give me a bid, and I'm really looking forward to this visit by these guys.
Now, how long it took them 3 minutes to get back to you when you went online?
Ten minutes.
Wow.
10 minutes. Well, we got to tighten that up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little disappointed.
You know what I would have, and I've done this to people. I've done this to people before. I'll text or I'll go online and then immediately get a call, and I always say, "What took you so long?" And sometimes they think you're serious, and I'm kidding. Yeah, 10 minutes is great. Hey, do me a favor, give us some feedback when you get your Window World windows, and let us know what you think. Would you do that?
I will. I am really looking for. I've heard you talking about these windows for years and years and years, and like I said, I just never needed them, but now I do, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, we appreciate the loyalty. Let us know, okay?
All right. No problem.
All right, John, thank you. Now, the movie that I was going to talk about, where I think not only is it the perfect music, but it is a case of where, okay, we have the movie, now we need some music, let's call. And in this case, they call the Bee Gees, and it's Saturday Night Fever. That Stigwood, right? Dan Buffa, Robert Stigwood, he was the was he the guy who produced the music
for which film?
Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever. Where were you taking a nap?
No, I'm not. I just want to clarify.
Saturday Night Fever has its own Wikipedia page.
Everything has its own Wikipedia page.
That music was created, most of the soundtrack for that music, just for that movie. And you talk about perfect. I mean, the soundtrack of that movie makes that movie.
It does. It's actually really,
and there are a lot of movies like that, and I can't think of them right offhand, where without that music, that movie wouldn't have been half the movie it is.
Like
Flashdance.
Yeah.
Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah. Pulp Fiction. Great soundtrack. Love that soundtrack.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber.
So you're saying
Dumb and Dumber would have been funny without any music at all. I mean, that.
So you're saying there's a chance. The best part of that movie, I laugh every time, is when Jeff Daniels smokes Lauren Holly with that snowball.
Oh.
It's just one of the best. I mean, I lose it every time. He gets really mad and this hits her right in the face with a big snowball.
Well, now we have to go around and say our favorite scene from the movie.
Yeah, that's what happens.
You can't let Buffa just let that hang there.
No. Okay, when they open the champagne bottle and the cork flies out and kills a rare owl or something.
Yeah.
They're having a fundraiser to save these owls, these snow owls or whatever they are. One of these morons opens a bottle of champagne. And the cork flies, shoots that thing right in the head and kills it. Just kills one of those rare animals. That was funny.
I got two favorite scenes. One is when they sell the little blind kid, the dead parakeet.
Petey!
The bird. Petey! Oh, my God. He's just got, like,
what happened to him?
On his head.
His head fell off.
And then, of course, obviously, you got to do Jeff Daniels in the bathroom, stuck on the toilet.
Oh, that's like, terrible. You feel for the guy.
Like, yeah, that's my favorite scene.
My wife will not laugh at one scene in that movie.
Oh, really?
She doesn't think it's funny.
When the chef comes out and starts licking his date's arm.
The fight scene.
And then they get into a fight scene where he grabs his heart out of his chest. God. He gives it to him in a doggy bag to go.
So funny.
Licking his date's arm at a fine upscale restaurant. I just crack up laughing every time.
That's good stuff.
Right, isn't that the movie with the scene where they got the guy in the restaurant and they give him the hot
they gave him the rat poison.
That's right. Okay, now, for people who haven't seen Dumb and Dumber, which has been around forever, I know we're boring them and going,
24 years.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's so good.
What else do you need to cover before you...
All right, there's one movie...
Well, you were talking about a movie coming up that we're going to like.
Yeah, and really, I'll be honest, looking at the first 2 months of the year, there's not a lot. The first movie really big, that's Captain Marvel. That's the next Marvel movie coming out in March. But there's a movie coming out. It's an independent film that I don't think is getting enough press. And it stars, of course, one of my favorites, Frank Grillo. It's got Jamie Bell. It's the author... Frank Bill wrote the book called Donnybrook, and it reminded me of Fight Club because it takes place in Indiana, and it's about a bare-knuckle tournament that has a $100,000 prize, and you have regular guys that can compete in this bare-knuckle fight tournament, and it's got Jamie Bell, the British actor, who people mostly will know for, I think his name is, he was in a movie called where he played a a ballerina, I want to say, Billy.
Oh, yeah, Billy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good actor, but he takes a different role here. And
Frank, hold on a second. A guy plays a ballerina? Ballerina yeah, is a woman.
God, I'm going to look at name? Yeah, Billy. It's a very...
From like, I think it's like the mid...
Billy Elliot. Billy Elliot. Yeah. And really, so he's known for that. But
what do you call a guy in ballet, though? He's not a ballerina.
I don't know.
Yeah, they are.
What is the name for
really?
A guy?
Yeah, ballerina.
Ballerina, there you go. So, Tim.
So there are a man can be a ballerina?
Yes.
Fellerina. Oh, you're not going to believe this.
What? Do you,
it's ballerino.
Ballerino?
Ballerino.
Ballerino. Yeah. Are you serious?
Dumbest thing.
According to Ballet Dancers Wikipedia page, a regular male dancer in Italy is called danzatore.
Ballerino.
While ballerino usually denotes a principal male ballet dancer in Italy.
No, that's not appropriate. How many times do I have to tell you? That's for something, oh my goodness, something horrible. That doesn't even fit. Edit that out. That sounded stupid. Edit that out.
Radio edit.
Every time Limey takes a chance.
Sometimes Limey gets trigger happy. And
he took a chance, man. I'm telling you, man. Those
I'm trying to picture two guys in the bar, you know, two buddies, and hey. They're talking about their boys. They're talking about their boys, and one goes, "Yeah, my son just started his own construction company. What about your boy? What do you end up doing? Oh, he's a ballerino.
He's a ballerino.
Ballerino.
Hey, what do you be when you're older? A ballerino.
I never knew that word existed.
But the ballerino from Billy Elliot is playing a guy who has to enter. He's got a family. He's a war veteran, and he is the. Let's just say the main character in this film called Donnybrook, and he goes up against
my favorite TV show. Mm. Anyway,
I think Ray Hartman was a ballerino.
Yeah,
he goes up against, and I think this is one of the best bad guy names of all time. Is what Frank Grillo plays. Chainsaw Angus is the bad guy's name in this movie.
That's a pretty bad name.
And he plays
Colonel Angus.
He's a meth dealer, and he's also a former boxer, and he is kind of like the antagonist in this movie. And I just think it looks great. It comes out on February 15th. It's going to be on IFC, which means it'll be in theaters, but it'll also be on demand, so you can watch it at home if you want to. I think we need to push this movie. It's got a lot of indie roots to it, and I think without a lot coming out in the first 2 months, this could be a very entertaining movie. More like a kind of like Out of the Furnace, the Christian Bale film meets Fight Club. That's kind of what I think about it. It's kind of a grassroots Fight Club is what it looks like, and I think you should go watch it. It's going to be really good.
Nice cough.
Who was that?
Oh, that was me. Sorry, I thought I had it turned down.
Good broadcast professor. What is that?
That's the ballerino music.
Ah. Hey, any movie with a character named Chainsaw Angus, I mean... Yeah,
and it's based on a novel, and I read it. And this Chainsaw Angus is a bad guy. I mean, he's the bad guy in the film. He's a meth dealer. He uses his younger sister to basically deal meth with him, and he's a despicable dude. And for Frank Grillo, who's played kind of a lot of heroes lately, for him to play this absolute heel in a movie is great. I mean, he's the guy that stands in front of him. Of course, the hero. Guess what his name is. Jarhead Earl is the hero's name.
All right.
And it's just got a lot of good actors in it. And it's one of those films that I don't see a lot of press for. And I get mad about that because you got these great little... I mean, I love a good independent film. Mm-hmm. And it was really produced. Everybody kind of did it for the love of the game. They didn't take a big paycheck. It's kind of one of those films like, for instance, when Pulp Fiction came out, Bruce Willis was making $20 million a movie. Guess how much he made... to be in Pulp Fiction, Quentin Tarantino's second film. He took $500,000, which is, I know it's a lot, but from what he was making, he did that for the great script. I think this is one of those movies that can come out of nowhere. It was at the Toronto Film Festival in September, and it really did well. It's kind of one of those films to watch. Again, if you don't have to go to the theater to watch it, because IFC releases those on demand. So if you want to stay at home and watch it, it's called Donnybrook, and it's based on a book by Frank Bill, which you can read. The book is very entertaining. It'll set you up well, but it's one of those independent films that could be one of those sneaky good films in the first part of 2019, because there's not a lot. The first part of the year, really, the first 2 months is kind of soft.
What is the word? Doesn't the word Donnybrook mean crossing paths or come to a stalemate or
and,
something.
In this
like
movie, that's the name of the tournament they're fighting in, but I think there is an original meaning to it, though.
Donnybrook has its own Wikipedia page.
Everything.
And it means but the dictionary.com version is a scene of uproar and disorder, a heated argument. Oh, I've heard hockey announcers use the phrase Donnybrook when there's a 3-on-3.
A big, when all 10 guys fight. Yeah. It's so good. It doesn't happen anymore, though. But Tim Woodburn, do you have a Wikipedia page?
I do not.
Limey?
No.
Mm-mm. Frank, do you have a Wikipedia page?
I don't. And since we're talking about television as well as movies, let's talk about Donnybrook for a second on Channel 9. Dan and I love that show because it's one of the funniest comedies on TV. How long has that thing been on TV? It's been on for like 25 years, hasn't it?
No, probably more than that.
It's been a long, long
time. You know, Ray Hartman used to have birthday parties out at my dad's house. He'd had events. My dad used to live on a 40-acre property with a 6-acre private lake, and Ray Hartman had a couple of parties out there. He was friends with my ex-stepmom. And you know why he was so brilliant? Is because he owned the Riverfront Times when there was no internet, and all the personal ads of all the
materials
and freaks and everything.
That's a good paper.
We used to read the personal ads from Riverfront on the air.
Well,
I mean, it was unbelievable.
And now the paper has no personal ads, and he sold it right before the internet came out and took all those personal ads over. That's what made him brilliant.
Timing is everything.
It is.
He got out just at the
right
time.
He sure did.
But you're right. That's the kind of stuff you couldn't. Well, you couldn't because it wasn't available. You're right, there was no internet. So I remember we used to go on there and go, okay, I am a smoothie looking for a Harry. I'm a cop. I want to bomb. It was all that.
And we
sat there trying to decipher what all this stuff meant.
Smoothie.
That's a mental image. It's basically like a Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis saying that. It's just, I'll drink your milkshake.
I would have loved to have been a part of the show when you did that.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was great, man. It was hysterical because we had, as we read it, had to figure out, you know, what it meant. Smoothie and Harry, that's pretty obvious. And they have terms for, you know, I'm a fat guy and I would like to hook up with a skinny guy, or and I don't even remember all the terminology for those things, but it was, oh man, it was hysterical.
It was men seeking men, women seeking women, and
whoa.
It was,
and anything goes.
Right.
Threesomes, married but looking.
Man, did the original Swingers.
That's all.
Yeah,
on
but
that.
It was
now.
It was the little abbreviated terms they had to represent, you know, their sexual preferences. It was great entertainment. But boy, you're right. He absolutely got out of there at the right time, and I think made a killing.
He did.
He'd done that. Just 3 years later, he probably sold it for half what it was worth. Before we get out of here, Dan at Buffa, is there anything else?
No, that's it. I mean, you know, Glass is a disappointment. Destroyer is the film to see, but if you want to stay home, The Punisher on Netflix and True Detective on HBO, which is just getting warmed up. I think it's got 3 episodes so far this season. And one good thing about True Detective, you don't have to watch the first 2 seasons. You can just watch the 3rd season from the start. So you don't have any homework to do.
You liked The Upside, didn't you?
I liked The Upside. Bryan Cranston.
I really enjoyed it.
I mean, if you take Bryan Cranston out of that movie, I think it's a big flop, but he's so good. I mean, the guy played Walter White. Now he's played a guy in a wheelchair who can actually make Kevin Hart look good. So. All kudos to Mr. Cranston.
Yeah, and Kevin Hart wasn't
annoying.
He wasn't annoying, and he didn't try to be funny.
Hey, man, look, Kevin Hart, man, here we go, man. And basically, that's what he does in all of his movies.
Great. But it is a comedy, correct?
Dan, you like it. Take Sandy, go see The Upside, because I think you'd really enjoy it. And Kevin Hart plays it perfectly. He doesn't go over the top funny. It's got funny moments in it, some really funny moments, but it's not a comedy.
And really, and Nicole Kidman, she's having a great, I want to say, 5 months. She was in Boy Erased last winter. She was in Aquaman. She was the best part about Aquaman. She's in Destroyer. She's in The Upside. She's really having a great run, but she's very talented.
I don't know if she's acknowledged in Hollywood as being the great actress she is. I know they like to heap all these accolades on Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman is a fantastic actress.
Well, she could play a lot of different things, too. I mean, she played kind of an action hero type in Aquaman. Now she's playing this despicable detective, and then she plays a great mom in Boy Erased.
Can I talk about a movie that I have no desire to watch in any way? This new Liam Neeson movie where up in Alaska.
Cold Pursuit.
I am so sick and tired of Liam Neeson movies.
Why, can I say something to that? You know, he said a year ago that he was done doing this, but he's still doing it. It's the same plot. He's a guy who loses somebody. He's a regular guy, and he wants to kill all the bad guys with a snowplow.
He's going to clean house.
That's it. It's so boring, though, because it's just the same thing. I mean, the last one, he was on a freaking train.
Yeah, the commuter.
Like, he's got to kill some people.
Can he get any other roles? Because he's really good.
He used to be a great actor.
I think he just gets offered these roles, and then he should just tell his agent, I'm not playing Taken 45. I mean, come on.
It's just boring.
I mean, all in this one, it's like, I have a very particular set of skills. I can plow snow, and I will get you. That's basically the whole movie.
That really is it. He is a snowplow driver, he's going to take on drug dealers
with his snowplow. And look, I get it. It's February, the first week of February. That's when the train one came out last year in January. But, dude, he is such a great actor. And I watched the original Taken, man. It's such a good movie. But he's played it so many times. One of the best, I want to say, movies that he's played in the last few years is Run All Night. And that was kind of a good movie. He played a guy who was trying to get his son away from the mob. Ed Harris played the bad guy. It takes place in real time. I thought that was a great use of his, you know, Liam Neeson-ageddon, I want to call it.
But, see, there's another movie I have to make a note to watch. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, but I mean, he's played in basically it's one in a million of all the movies he's played in the last 10 years, but that's one of the more effective movies. It takes place in New York. He's a mobster who's friends with Ed Harris, but in the movie, and I'll tell you this right now, he kills his best friend's son, and he tries to save his son, and it takes place all night. They're trying to run away from the mob. It's got Ed Harris. Vincent D'Onofrio plays in it. He plays the cop.
I want to see this. Now you made me want to see. How old is this movie?
It's, I want to say, 3 years old, but it was kind of like one of those movies that comes out. It's got Liam Neeson. But in this one, he's not perfect. He's not like the guy that can't be beat. He's kind of got, he's a drunk. He's got kind of a limp. He's a former gangster who's kind of a burnout. But he has to go up against his best friend, who's basically the head of the mob. And he does it to protect his son because he killed his best friend's son. So he's trying to protect his son. Run All Night.
Before we get away, let's not forget two Liam Neeson movies that show something other than the guy who's going to go take names and, you know, whatever. Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
And the great Schindler's List.
And also Michael Collins and Rob Roy. Rob Roy was good at Tim Roth as the bad guy. That was a good movie. Came out, I think, 20 years ago. But that's when he kind of played an action hero, but it was in a drama. He's such a good actor. I mean, he's just a guy that instantly you bought as any character he played. But he's making, I mean, Cold Pursuit comes out next month. It just looks like a bad movie. And I don't think it's even going to be screened for critics.
One of the things we could do, because we're out of time, we could start it next week, is take one little segment of this hour and just go concentrate on one genre. Let's say comedy. And let's come up with a list of the movies that I don't care if you have the least sense of humor on a scale of what kind of sense of humor? 10. If you're a 2, these are movies you cannot help but laugh out loud at. And Dumb and Dumber would be one that you'd have to put in there. So maybe we'll do that one day. And the other thing I like is I like real suspense thrillers where you are on the edge of your seat.
I already have one for next week.
Okay, hold it, save it. We'll do a theme, and you can do whatever genre you want next week. For now, I have to remind people that your presence here is made possible by Window World. Window World, the number one selling, by far, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. If you want to know more about Window World and how it got where it is in a relatively short period of time, it all has to do with getting your money's worth. If you want to know more, go to windowworldst.louis.com. You want to do this again next week? I assume you do.
Yes, but for now, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
Thank you, Dan. I think I enjoy TV now more than I have in a long, long time, and I will say that is in large part to the money and the budgets that they have allocated to produce, get the best actors, get the best writers, get the best production, and the HBOs, the Showtimes, the Amazon Prime, Netflix, I think it's made TV something completely different than it was before. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. But I look forward to this every Thursday, every Tuesday. We'll do it again next Tuesday. So make a note of that. Remember, too, tomorrow, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. But for right now, the Playhouse is coming up. And, oh, yeah, there's a joke. There's always a joke. Don't go away. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is KM Jans, and you're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is calling on Democrats to end the political hostility toward President Trump and agree to his compromise offer to end the partial government shutdown. Senate leaders are setting up votes on competing bills aimed at doing just that.
Neither measure is expected to advance on Thursday. One of the bills involves President Trump's proposal, essentially trading temporary protections for Dreamers for nearly 6